Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
A Super Bowl champion.
The Green Bay Packers have won the Super Bowl.
The Packers' all-time leading scorer.
A game winner for Mason Crosby.
It's time for the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Nellis, presented by Verizon, the official 5G network of the Green Bay Packers, on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook, and on the free Odyssey app. It's time to talk about the Pack with Andy Herman of the Pack-A-Day podcast on the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Thunder Nellis. Presented by Verizon, the official 5G provider of the Green Bay Packers, on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network.
Hi, everybody. My name's Mitch Nellis, a.k.a. Thunder, and this is the Mason Crosby Show. And this might be my new favorite segment in the history of radio, because normally on Wednesdays, Mason's not here. Yep. And so, and Andy Herman has talked to, I think, seven different people each of the last seven Wednesdays.
It's like a surprise every
so
time.
So I get to formally introduce, reintroduce the kicker, Mason Crosby, to our best friend, Andy Herman.
There he is.
How you doing?
Oh, it's great. I mean, it's like the morning all over again, man. Yeah.
It is. This is epic.
The original A-team back together.
Yep, got the crew back together. Yeah, it's awesome. I know these guys get to talk to you, or you get to talk to somebody on the Mason Crosby Show.
Yeah, so Mason, you just go. Yeah, I'm going to give you the mic. I'm going to go take a nap.
Yeah, no, you got to, I mean, you got to stay involved, you know, you're locked in, but yeah, Andy, I haven't had a chance to pick your brain. I can't wait to get your scouting report on what's going on up there at 1265. So what are you feeling about this game on last Sunday against the Giants? And then we'll move on to what's going on against the Vikings this weekend. So tell me your recap of that Giants game and what you saw in the film.
Yeah, obviously from a film standpoint, a lot of what we would have expected, just, you know, some self-inflicted wounds, some mistakes, some really good stuff as well. I'll run through a couple plays that I thought were sort of a microcosm of the Packers offense that just of kind of where it's at. And also kind of goes to show you how well Jordan Love is kind of playing through some of the issues that exist on this offense. The very first third down, I thought it was a great play call by Matt. You're basically doing a little rollout bootleg play out of like a shotgun set. It was really uniquely created. And what you're basically looking for is a deep and intermediate and a short. You're, you know, reading all three levels from deep to short. And then you've kind of got a late breaker by Romeo Doubs as your fourth potential read. So Jordan gets to the outside. He's going to do that little bootleg action. And the deep and the intermediate route end up on top of each other. So they're right next to each other. Neither of them are open. So that's kind of all screwed up to begin with. Your flat route, which is supposed to be Emmanuel Wilson, is, you know, complicated because your tight end, who's supposed to pick off a free defensive end rusher, runs into Emmanuel Wilson. And so instead of Emmanuel Wilson going out in the flat, and instead of that free rusher getting picked off by your tight end, you've now got a free rusher in Jordan Love's lap. And your intermediate or your short route is dead as well. So your long, your intermediate, your short are all done. And now you've got a defender diving in on you immediately. So Jordan says, all right, screw it. I'll just make the guy miss, replant in the pocket, and then see Romeo coming across the middle, throws a dart across the middle, and Romeo drops it on third down. And it's like Jordan did everything he could to make this disaster of a play work, and it still couldn't pay off. And then there's another one later. Matt talked about this in his press conference yesterday. It's right before halftime. I think it was right before halftime. This is the play where it's the low snap, and Jordan has to go down to get the snap, and then he throws to Musgrave, and Musgrave, you know, vomits the ball up, and it ends up being thankfully an incomplete pass. On that play, Wicks, Golden, and Watson all went on their routes. Like, pretty immediately, Watson's going to come open deep down the field, and you're going to end up with Wicks open on the sideline. And Golden, I think, is eventually going to get taken out by a safety that's kind of playing like a robber. But ultimately, everyone wins on their routes. You're going to end up with an explosive play opportunity. But because of a poor snap, it goes to crap. And then Jordan still tries to salvage it, saves it, gets it to his tight end, and that's not completed either. That was the type of day that it was, from like a consistency issue, but still Jordan finding ways to overcome. And I thought ultimately at the end of the day, he did a great job of willing his team to victory at the end.
Nice, nice. Always, always concise. Great takes. Isn't it like, if I remember this correctly, he had six incompletions, and out of those, in the like kind of early on, and five of those were drops. Like, in his first six incompletions, five of them were drops. Is that a correct stat? Yeah.
You know, I think seven on the day. Depends, you know, some are saying like the Watson one was a little bit deflected. Another, you know, the Wicks one along the sidelines, a little bit tough. I personally, I'm right around that 6 to 7 drop mark in this game. Yeah,
those are catchable balls. I mean, those balls are right there, right? So, he's playing at a high level. What did you think? I think it was early, like the first, I think they went under center right from the beginning, right? What do you think? Do you think we're going to see a little more under center action? You know, a little bit. I've been saying, if Josh Jacobs is out, I said earlier in the show that you could see some more into rounds by Savion Williams, even Savion Williams in the backfield, try to get some of these playmakers involved in unique ways. What do you think this offense is going to do to adjust, from your opinion?
Yeah, they're going to have to do some of that stuff. Now, Savion Williams did not practice today. We know he's been fighting that foot injury. He was in the walking boot before the game. Based on his ability to play last week, I would assume he'd be able to play this week again. But how much you're able to do some of the gadget stuff with him, that might remain to be seen a little bit. But they're going to have to, if Jacobs is out, they're going to have to be creative. It did feel like they put the game a little bit more in Jordan's hands, especially in the second half of that game. This is one of those interesting ones where you go against this Minnesota defense that is not fun to go. They bring a lot of pressure. It's a mad scientist type defense. You don't know who's coming, who's blitzing, who's staying back, etc. And they're going to try to confuse you. And there's its own set of complications that come with that. But at the same time, Green Bay's had to go against so many of these, you know, soft defenses, too high, you know, safety looks, that I think almost anything else at this point might be like this is kind of like a pleasant surprise. Like, this is kind of like a nice change of pace. But we know Flores is going to have that Vikings team, you know, very well versed in how to stop Green Bay. They're going to have a lot of surprises up their sleeve, and how Jordan handles that pressure and how he takes care of the football is going to go a long way in this one as well.
Yeah, from like the preliminary looks, it looks like it's going to be like 55, low wind, a nice day on Sunday there at Lambeau Field. So that plays right into what you're saying. I mean, put it in Jordan's hands. Like, let this team bring pressure, let the Vikings bring pressure, and just throw into that pressure. Every time they bring it, throw right to it, and just just get it going. So
you're telling me there's not going to be any kicking issues then this week? There's no kicking issues. There's no. It's a perfect day, Mason. So we're good there, right?
Weather's perfect. Yes, like it should be. It should be a perfect day.
Can we just have the snap for the field goal, one less blocker, and McManus and Haversick both out there, and you don't know which one's going to kick, and so like they're both out there on the same field goal attempt?
Soccer style 3K, soccer style direct kick out of the box, where you've got an in-swinger and an out-swinger. Right. You know which way.
Who's hitting it? I love that.
I don't know. I didn't understand a word you just said, Andy, but I feel like we're on the same
vibe. This is why we stopped putting them together. There were so many soccer analogies.
Too many soccer references. I know. I missed it. I missed it so much. This is what I need on a human Wednesday. All right, Andy, let's go to the defense from that Giants game, and then we'll jump into this week against the Vikings. What'd you see from that defense?
Yeah, I've talked about this a couple of times this week, but this defense at times is very confusing to kind of put your finger at where they're at overall. You get to the end of these games. This Giants game is a fantastic example. You allowed 20 points on the day. More often than not, that's a winning performance. You look at Jameis Winston, 201 yards passing, no touchdowns and interception. more often than not, if that's the quarterback's, you know, overall stat line, that's a winning performance. You look at their rushing attack, 3.77 yards per carry for their running backs. More often than not, that's a winning performance in the NFL. Their leading receiver had like four catches for 55 yards. That's a winning, you know, formula. You had ultimately two turnovers. One of those is the final play. Even if we're going to count it one turnover, you had a key stop on a fourth down. You had two sacks on the day. Like, you get to the end of like the box score and everything, you look at it and you're like, that's a winning performance. But it does feel like you get all these converted third and fourth downs, and they have like almost 12 more minutes in time of possession in this game. Yeah, yes, you're cutting the game in half, and you're allowing 20 points in a game that is now condensed. I'm not sure that has the same feel to it as if you had, you know, three or four more possessions and limited them to 20 points. And you're not getting those explosives. They had five opportunities for interceptions. They only converted on one of them, thankfully, at the end of the game when it mattered most. But they could have made this game so much easier on themselves by either just let's put it this way. On one of the touchdown drives, they dropped two interceptions. They had two opportunities at picks, and they dropped both of them on what ended up being a touchdown drive. On another touchdown drive was the third and 15, where Edgerrin Cooper has the Tyrone Tracy dead to rights and misses the tackle. He picks up the first down, and that ends up being a touchdown. There's 14 points gone right there if you just take care of your business. I thought Jeff Hafley in general did a fantastic job of putting his players in positions to be successful, and they just have to kind of pay that off, get the interceptions, get the tackles, get off the field, and that probably feels like a much more dominant performance on defense.
Yeah, I love that. We got Andy Herman on the Mason Crosby Show. You can find him at Packaday Podcast at Andy Herman NFL on Twitter. He's everywhere, just like we are. Even from like last year, you know, where they were getting turnovers at a high rate, you know, the offense could be a little more inconsistent at times because you're getting more, you know, bites at the apple. So it feels like right now this offense has to they have to score every time. Like, I mean, they're getting fewer opportunities, less time on the field. And I just don't know. I'm not sure how that shift is going to happen. Is it the defense bringing more pressure from linebackers from different places, not just trying to rush four, not just trying to eliminate explosive plays, but actually just like getting pressure at all times? Do you think that's something Hafley might look at as an opportunity, especially as the weather breaks down? Like that's going to, like, and it gets worse out, there in Lambeau and other places. Do you think he brings more pressure to try to create turnovers?
I think it could be well within the realm of possibility. We've seen some stuff from Evan Williams and Xavier McKinney the past couple weeks where they've brought him off the edge or brought him from that safety position. You would expect that at some point Javon Bullard will get involved in that. And I think there's still a lot more that Edgerrin Cooper and even, Quay Walker can do from a blitzing standpoint as well. Hopefully getting LVN back helps that pass rush a little bit. If you're going to play a four-man rush, man, you better get home with that four, and teams are doing everything they can to take Edgerrin Cooper to take Micah Parsons away and make it so that he can't beat them. Even then, he's still getting home, you know, time or two per game. But you need more from Rashawn Gary, Devontae Wyatt, and when LVN comes back, you're going to need a little bit from him as well, just to add a little bit more, you know, punch to this defensive front to try to get some pressure on the quarterback, because you're not getting there. I think the other thing is, you know, just from a mentality standpoint, kind of what you're talking about, Mason, is do you want to play these grinded out games? Because I don't know that that fits the DNA of who you have as a team. It almost feels like if you have this team and you can score on offense, and maybe there's a little inefficiency on offense, but you've got these playmakers on defense, do you maybe want to get it so that there's more possessions for each team and that you can be a little bit more aggressive on defense? I'm not sure this grinded out style of play fits this Packers mentality the way that maybe they think it does, especially when the running game is not going on offense the way that you want it to. The way that I saw Jeff Hafley in 2024, a lot of times, this is a little bit of an oversimplification, but what I like from him is a lot of times it felt like he was ultra aggressive on first down to try to get you into a second and long situation. Yeah. And then they could kind of play coverage, and almost to the point where, hey, we're going to be ultra aggressive on first down. Our safeties are really good. If you complete a play for 15 yards, or if you have a 15 yard rush, no worries. Now we have you on first down again. We're going to come ultra aggressive again. And one of these times we're going to get you into a second and 13, which is going to lead to a third and 12. And then we're going to ultimately get off the field. And it felt like there was a little bit more of that aggression on early downs to get you into some long down and distances. And if they gave up a 12-yard play, they quite frankly, they didn't even care. Now it feels like they only want to give up those 3 or 4 yard plays, which is leaving a lot of teams in 3rd and 2, 3rd and 3. And Green Bay's defense is allowing them to convert too often, which is keeping the defense on the field, the offense off the field, and it just gets a little bit disjointed.
Man, Andy, yeah, you said exactly what I was thinking. I mean, I've been saying it for a little bit, and I don't know if that was more like what they came out the season doing, like against the Lions and the Commanders. Obviously, the Packs offense got to, you know, a double-digit lead in both those games, and then it was, you know, they were able to kind of unleash some of that stuff. But I'm always in the mindset of go after them, right? Like, yes, like we're trying to eliminate explosives, but if you can set them back right off the jump, like they're guessing and they're playing like at a deficit. I feel like this defense at times here, especially the last 3 weeks, has been kind of a bend don't break. Just kind of keep everything in front of you. Don't let any explosives happen, which they've done a good job of, but it's just you're on the field too much. You're just letting these teams kind of plod along. We got to go at them just a little bit more. So as we shift to that, like, what do you think the mindset is? What do you think the plan of attack is against this Minnesota Vikings team?
Yeah, I'm interested to see. The big thing I'm interested in is, you know, J.J. McCarthy is not playing good football right now, unless it's like the final drive and the game's on the line. So what you don't want is like a 4-point lead late in the game, Minnesota with the ball. That's the one time, you know, 9 shows up and actually looks like he's a capable quarterback in the league. The rest of the game, it looks awful. So I'm curious, If you're the Vikings coaching staff, if you're Kevin O'Connell and company, what you're looking at is we want to get JJ as many easy throws as we can possibly get him. We want it so that it's not super complicated. We don't need a ton of down the field stuff. We want to make this a very simple offense. And unfortunately for kind of Green Bay, they kind of are willing to allow some of that stuff, kind of like we just talked about. They're allowing some of the easy check down throws and they're trying to prevent some of the deep stuff. And I almost think if you're Green Bay, you have to take a little bit of a different mentality in this one of saying, hey, we're going to come after J.J. McCarthy and we're going to press and we're going to come up on these wide receivers. We're not going to give any of the short stuff. He's not shown the ability consistently enough to throw deep down the field. And when he has, he's thrown a lot of interceptions as well. So I almost think you want to take away the easy stuff from Kevin O'Connell and J.J. McCarthy, make him throw down the field more often. You're probably going to get a few balls thrown your way. And even if they do complete one or two, I think on the day, you're going to end up in a much more advantageous scenario, probably getting a couple turnovers, setting your offense up for success. And hopefully by the time he's maybe even hitting some of those balls down the field, you've got a good, you know, 14-point lead or something in this game.
Man, I love that. I'm like, yeah, I'm all in for that. I'm all in for that mindset. So these guys joking aside, like what is the kicker situation right now in Green Bay? Like, has injury report come out today? Is McManus practicing?
McManus was kicking.
Did he look at the weather this weekend? Looks a little bit nicer. He feels good about it. Is he going to be out there on Sunday?
That's apparently the hope. He was out there kicking today. So, you know, that's a good sign for him. I would think based off of last week, if McManus is good to go, he will be the kicker in Green Bay this week. But I would assume, last week that I think did 2 days of practice and then it got sore on him and he didn't kick on Sunday. So maybe today's the only day. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how they kind of handle that and just kind of keep an eye on it because apparently they're going to need him. I don't know. What did you think from that game, Mason? Was that mostly wind related? Did you see some issues up, you know, with the kicker, the operation? What did you kind of see?
I mean, obviously it was windy. Wind played a factor. The snap laces were back on the one. I mean, but that's your job. That's part of the thing, right? It's like you go out there and you got to go do it. So, I never made an excuse for myself whenever the weather was bad. And so, like, I don't think these guys are doing that. They're not doing that either, but it's, I do feel like I've heard out in the media space where everyone's kind of trying to tiptoe around, like, okay, wind was there, weather's bad, but it's like, what is going on? Like, why is, like, and then again, for me, I'm like, so McManus couldn't go in the game, but he's okay 2-3 days later.
Yeah.
Like, what is going on up there? Like, in my mind, I'm just like, I'm grasping at straws.
And why did he kick 2 days in a row? Mason, I don't know how often did you kick 2 days in a row, like legit in practice?
I mean, it happened quite. Yeah, I mean, it happened.
It happens?
Yeah, throughout the career.
But is it regular?
It is weird with a guy that like is, you know, coming off of not being healthy, a Monday night game. Like, there's no need for it. 2 days in a row. Like, I don't understand why they wouldn't have kicked on Wednesday or Thursday and Saturday, right? Like, that would have been the normal progression for a week. So he must have just tried to take a couple extra days off and bump them together. But yeah, that's never a good strategy, especially as if you are dealing with something at all that doesn't feel good. You're going to do less. He is a professional. He's kicked in the league a long time. Like, less is more. I was always, towards the end of my career, once I honestly got to the point where I could say things, it was quality over quantity. I'm like, all right, if I get 10 good reps and I feel really good, I'm shutting it down. I'd rather lock into those 10 reps than go kick 100 balls and have a couple squirrely ones in there.
You know, it's the problem is he wasn't warming up with that Packer soccer ball that you used to warm up with. You had that Packer soccer ball, right?
Yeah,
that you used to warm up with?
Of course
he
did. Exactly. Of course, Tommy.
I was 100%. Always jealous. I like, after I saw you kicking with that at like a camp, I'm like, I need to find a Packer soccer ball. I couldn't find that thing anywhere. And so I don't know if you still have one, Mace, but you know, that's a rare item.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I have it here at the house, and then it was an awesome thing I started doing kind of later in the career, where it was like, all right, I want to still be athletic and, like, you know, just kind of move around, hit a ball, not just always kicking field goals, right? And it was a good way to just kind of get your leg loose without doing my normal motion. And then I'd kick left-footed as well. So it was just kind of a balance out thing. And soccer is the best sport in the world. So, you know, which Andy and I appreciate. These two yahoos don't appreciate the game.
You don't even call it football. Like, don't say, oh, it's the best sport in the world, soccer. Like, anyone from not from America is like, fraud, like, immediately right to you guys.
Or fraud. Or I think Americans are the frauds. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. Right, like, yeah, if an English soccer fan would be like, footy. If they're like, right, if they're playing footy. If Mason Crosby,
if I am over
like,
in England, I will call it football.
Oh,
if I'm here in the States, I will call it soccer.
Nah, it's still football.
Exactly.
So now you're a poser.
That isn't a poser at all. It's where I'm at. That's where that's it's the place no, I am.
America
I, yes,
is
it's
the poser.
The place I'm
America
at.
Is the poser.
Well, we already know that.
We
right?
know that, I guess. Yeah.
We're new. We're still new money.
Andy, if they put out a Malik Willis offense package, are you going to rip your hair out? Because that's what's going to happen to me.
Okay. Really quick. They had a Malik Willis. They have a Malik Willis package. They used it against Chicago last year. They had Jordan line up wide at wide receiver, and they put Malik Willis. Yeah, I don't disagree. Listen, you want Jordan on the field 99.9% of the time. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL right now. The statistics show it. It's playing like it. You want him on the field. I do think when you have a running game that is stale, all right, that has not gone great, that having a package of a play or two, I'm not saying go out there and run, you know, six straight Malik Willis plays, but you do add a little bit of a different element when it comes to a numbers game up front, where now you have to account for the quarterback. Not if Jordan Love's at wide receiver. You still need a wide receiver out there. My only point would be, if anyone's looking for this, like, take the Philadelphia game. Your pass offense isn't working. Your run game's not working. Can you have a play or two where you've got Malik Willis come in, run a read option, and then maybe you've got a play action off the read option if they're not expecting it, just to try something? I don't need it. I don't think the Packers need it. Jordan Love is phenomenal. This is not a quarterback controversy thing, but you have a unique player where your running game is struggling and maybe you can get an extra 3 or 4 yards because you've got a quarterback on the field that can actually run as well. Okay, in a very stale situation where your offense isn't working and you can use it as like a, all right, we tried everything else, let's just see if this works. Cool, you should have that sort of stuff in your package. We're talking about 2 plays a year, not like 5 plays a game or anything like that.
Yeah, okay. Put Malik Willis at running back and then have Jordan pitch it to him and then Malik throw it. So I think that would be an awesome play.
And Andy, is Marshawn Lloyd ever going to play for the Packers? Like, could he just solve all of this?
Nope. I'm already answering the question. No, he's
I will say this. I don't think people recognize how big of a loss potentially that is. And I think he would. So Aaron Jones was so awesome and still is awesome at taking nothing and finding the smallest creases or just doing stuff that like, oh my God, that run should have gone for -3 and he turned it into a 7-yard gain.
Yeah.
He was unbelievable at that. Josh Jacobs, in a way, takes a lot of these negative runs and turns them into positives, but it's more through like, I'm going to break 3 tackles or like just shrug you off. And it's just a grind up the middle of the field, right? Marshawn Lloyd has that sort of Aaron Jones-esque ability of like, I get to the line and everything's stuffed, but oh my God, I have a superpower that I can juke to the outside. And now all of a sudden I'm outside one-on-one with a corner and I can make him miss. And all of a sudden I just turned a 3-yard loss into like a 12-yard gain. And that's not a disrespect to Josh Jacobs. Josh Jacobs is clearly 1A running back on this team, but as a change of pace and as a running back who can create some stuff out of nothing, I do think that this team is really missing that aspect of it. Lloyd would help a ton, and it just sucks that he has not been able to be or get healthy whatsoever in his 2 years in this league so far.
How many touches do you think Emmanuel Wilson will have in this game on Sunday?
My guess is Jacobs plays. I'm going to say, like, just knowing how much he cares about it and like he fights to play, I bet he plays, and I bet it's a pretty 50-50 split on first and second down between Wilson and Jacobs. And I think we see a lot of Chris Brooks on third downs, especially with, this Flores defense being as blitz happy as they are and having a superstar pass protector as Chris Brooks in the backfield is super helpful.
And if that's what happens, I'm giving every Josh Jacobs fantasy football owner permission to be mad at you, because now we can't count on Josh Jacobs or Emmanuel Wilson. It's like they're both going to be bums for fantasy.
Start Malik Willis. That's what we heard.
Start Malik Willis at running back.
Here's your cheat code for fantasy players out there. Yeah. Never draft players from your own team. You're already cheering for players on your own team. You have to cheer for them already.
Josh Jacobs is worth it.
Never get fantasy players from your own team, because then if they do bad, now you're double upset because now your fantasy team's done and now your player didn't play well for your actual team.
Yeah.
You already get to cheer for those guys on your actual team. Draft players from other teams.
No, it has nothing to do with cheering. You take the best player available because you separate your head from your heart and your fantasy football team. You do the best you can.
I'm all in on Andy's take there. I'm starting all Vikings this week. You win in fantasy, it doesn't matter because the Packers won. Yes, all in on that, Andy.
Hey, Andy, what do you think of this? Mitch, before the show, sent a picture of an Aaron Ripkowski jersey that
my buddy found at a Goodwill in Denver. There's an Aaron Ripkowski jersey.
I think that's
why Matthew Golden switched numbers, actually.
Yeah, he didn't want to be 22.
He had so much respect for Ripkowski's 22.
I loved Rip, man. He was the best.
He's not from that area, right? So no, he doesn't have like a. He's from Texas. He's from
Texas. Random.
Totally random.
He's a Texas boy.
Like, what?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how it ended up in Denver.
Is it possible that Aaron Ripkowski has family in Denver, and then he was just beefing, and then he was like,
"There's a lot of Wisconsin transplants."
Did he ever play? He didn't play there, did he?
After Green Bay, he had a practice squad or offseason stint with the Chiefs, and never played there in a game. So,
dude, that would be awesome if Aaron Ripkowski put his jersey on the Goodwill rack.
He's just visiting, game worn.
Yeah, right. He's like, I don't need this anymore. Like, just Goodwill.
He'd be that type of guy. Yeah. He's just like, I have no use for this anymore. I'm going back to Texas.
Mace, it's about time for us to let Andy go.
I don't want to let him go. Andy, stay forever.
Any parting words? Any last questions you got for our best friend, Andy Herman?
Just good to see you, bud. I appreciate your takes, man. I needed that in my life. It's exactly what this Human Wednesday needed. And hopefully, man, I'm gonna come on occasionally on Wednesdays just so I can talk to you. You know, I won't take every Wednesday off for the rest of my life.
I love that.
I think I've been on the Mason Crosby Show more on Wednesdays than you've been on the Mason Crosby
That's true.
Show.
That is true.
Facts. With the new times from 12, at 1 o'clock on Wednesdays, you have been on more than I have for sure.
I love it.
Mitch, really quick, who's seen his final opponent going to be? Gunther?
I think it's Gunther, and I think we're all going to hate it. Gunther doesn't need it. The WWE Universe.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Doesn't need it. I like what they've done with Dom. I don't like that he's had gets three of the last four matches, though. But I like Dom way more than Gunther in terms of an opponent there. Edge is still going to show up and be the final opponent.
All right, Mason, this is where you and me pile up on.
Yeah, come on. Like, this is way worse.
I can eliminate Thunder and Mason from part of the combo, too. So, Tommy, we got to figure out something.
Yeah, we'll get there. We'll get there.
What do y'all have? Yeah, Tommy, keto. You got going nothing.
Keto. Staying on the internet.
Andy, are you going keto? You going keto? No, keto. Like Tommy's doing keto right now.
I was going to, and I can't because I've had my gallbladder removed, and you can't apparently do it if you have had your gallbladder removed.
So. Ooh, maybe I should just go get my gallbladder removed voluntarily so I can never go keto.
There you go.
I love it. Andy,
appreciate you, Andy.
Thank you so much. Appreciate Follow Andy everywhere at Andy Herman NFL. I'll listen to Pack a Day podcast. He is
the absolute best.
This is the Mason Crosby Show.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.